know, but you weren't here when I called your name, were you?
No.
No, you'll let me know later. I started from the end today.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to give Barron the chance. Miller, you're in the middle. All right, next week, Miller will. My only problem is I don't know which direction to go. All right, we're in still in Perek Chaf. We're going on to Pasuk Zayin. Barron, I'll discuss with you the problem that you raised last time. I made some investigations. Anyway, we read here towards the end of this inyan that Abimelech, having been sufficiently warned and troubled by what he had done, returned Sarah to Avram. It says, "Vayikach Abimelech tzono bakar v'avodim shvaches, vayitain l'Avram." He gave him gifts. Vayoshev lo, I shouldn't say gifts. He gave him compensation. Vayoshev lo a Sarah ishtei. Vayomer Abimelech hinei artzi lofnecha batov beinecha shev. Ulsara amar hinei nosati elef kesef liochich. Now, there are a variety of interpretations in this Pasuk Tes Zayin. You know, Hinei Hulach Ksusei Naim, what does that mean? L'chol Asheri Toch Ve'is Kol V'Nochochas. It's not an easy Pasuk to teach. In other words, anyone just free reading it would have great difficulty understanding what it meant. At any rate, I'm just going to become involved in the pshat of the Ramban, and that's what we'll do now. The first thing the Ramban wants to say is, it says elef kesef loachich, apparently 1,000 shkalim, all right? Yet the way it's described in Pasuk Yudalit, it's put in terms of tzom bakar v'avadim u'shvachis. So what is the, somehow, how do they relate? So the Ramban simply says right now that it's a matter of shavius. In other words, the elef kesef was simply in terms of shavu kesef. So he says, "Hayu atzon va'bakar va'avadim shinasen lo shavim elef kesef." It was worth elef kesef. So that's the first part of the pasuk. Then he says, "Hinei hulach suseinayim." Suseinayim, a covering for the eyes. Obviously, there's some symbolic meaning to the idea of a covering for the eyes. So that's what the Ramban discusses now. It says, V'yomer l'sara. See, what is Abimelech trying to do in these few psukim? He's very aggravated. He's a p'sashtikl yirei shemaim, especially after having a visitation from Hashem. So he wants to compensate. He wants to make up for the wrong, or whatever wrong he may have done in God's eyes. So there's a process of compensation. So in terms of Avram, he is compensating Avram by this elef kesef, this diverse range of payments that he's making to him. Fine. How is he going to compensate Sarah? And it's quite obvious that it's going to be a lot more difficult to compensate Sarah than to compensate Avram. So the Amar l'Sarah, the Ramban says, "Hinei nosati mamon rav l'ochich." I've given him a great deal of money. "Hinei akesef loch." This money will represent for you. In other words, he's being mefayis her bidvarim, but via the money that he has given Avram. How is that? So the Ramban learns pshat that the ksus einayim is basically a covering for the eyes of people who gaze at you. Sus einei kol ha-mabitim b'yofyech. Ki es einayim v'esrosheim ha-chozim. Remember, last week we learned that Sarah was beautiful. And the tendency, of course, is for people to gaze at beautiful women, whether the women are theirs or not theirs. So, ki es einayim v'esrosheim ha-chozim. Yechasu mehabit b'cha. Mehabit b'cha. In other words, they're going to hold themselves back from gazing at you. All right. See, he learns pshat in the pasuk when it says lechol asher itach. That is to say, it's a ksus einayim for you, in terms of they won't gaze at you, and not only not at you, but let's say your maidservants, everyone who's with you. In other words, the effect of this compensation on the part of Avimelech, a king of the Plishtim, will be such that everyone will withdraw their gaze from anything that has to do with you. Afilu ben arusecha v'shivchosecha. All right? Fine. Then, before we go back, now, what's the inyan? The inyan is as follows. See, for example, in Bava Basra, there's an inyan of Hezekriah. Some of you may have learned Bava Basra, where the idea is a wall has to be put up so people can't gaze in other people's private affairs. And some of Farshim learned Pshat that it's a concept of Hezekriah in the sense of Hezek. There's a kind of Hezek involved. Other Mepharshim learned Pshat that it's a concept of invasion of privacy. It was the concept of Bailus, the concept of ownership, involves a concept of privacy. And when you gaze into other people's property, you're, in a sense, invading their privacy. Like, you know, the tendency on the part of many of us as we walk by buildings and, you know, the street, you know, where you have apartments that are right on the tendency to gaze in. It's, in a sense, an invasion of privacy. It should not be done. Now, actually, in the case of a woman, especially, shall I say, a beautiful woman, people gazing at the woman, I'm not discussing what isurim there may be mitzad ha'ish. That's another department. We're not now worried about what averis the plishta may be committing or not committing in terms of hirurei avera. But simply in terms of the woman herself is deprived of her own privacy in terms of herself when they gaze at her beauty. That, in other words, the concept of tzniyus is such that a woman's beauty is not essentially to be displayed for all and sundry. Of course, in American society, it's very difficult to appreciate this idea because, if I count in America, that's the pshat of a woman's beauty, that it should be displayed. But the concept of tzniyus is that basically it's not. The woman is unto herself or for her husband, and that's it. So Memele, that's what Avimelech is telling her. He's telling her, look, this is ksus einayim. No one's going to look at you. You are going to be, in other words, have your own privacy. There will be no invasion of your tzniyus and modesty. To the extent that it will essentially be disconnected from anyone who has to do with you. And then Avimelech is really trying to build up the case. So the Ramban interprets Avimelech as saying, look, from your point of view, you gained by what happened. In other words, before this, before you were taken by me, then of course people undoubtedly gazed at you. All right, you were there and they gazed at you. But now that the Avimelech has to pay a tribute, has to somehow, as the Ramban says, redeem his nefesh for what he's done, people say, wow, you know, like, this woman's a princess, so, you know, she's really something special, we, you know, like, no one tampers with her. So he says, v'hine l'tovaseich nitpast bebesi, for your own benefit, ki yirumimcha v'yichasu eneim meir osbach b'yamram ha-melech poda nafsha v'al sholcha yad v'eshes hanavi. So this was the pius devarim. In other words, what comes out is as follows. There's a pius mamein to Avram, you might say, in terms of the fact that a gzela was committed against him because Sarah being an ashes ish, kind of, someone or something has been taken away from him. So of course it doesn't operate with ordinary hilchis, you know, hashavas gzela in terms of tashlumei mamein and so forth, but in terms of there's a compensatory idea in terms of what Avram had been deprived of. And in terms of Sarah, there's this verbal effort at trying to somehow alleviate her feelings and emotions about what happened. The Higira Kosuv, this is what the Ramban is saying now. The Higira Kosuv, Shepiyes Avram b'mamein, Vesara bidvarim shelo ye'anesh bi echad mehem, because an avera was committed both against the woman, and an avera was also committed against the man too. In fact, it's interesting. I recall the Rambam in the Shemina Prokim as indicating that although ordinarily arayas, let's say if a ordinarily by the Isuri arayas, the nature of it is a bein adam lamakein. There is also a bein adam lachavero aspect, not by ordinary arayas, but by eshes ish, in terms of the husband. In terms of the husband, it's kind of kinyan. She is a kinyan lay, so there is a concept of deprivation and chomas and gzela in an avera of eshes ish. So Avram was affected in that way too. Of course, in Sarah's case, there was a chomas also. I just wanted to point out the fact that relative to the man, there's a concept of gzela. Now, the final part of the pasuk, v'eis kol v'nochachas. What does that mean? V'eis kol v'nochachas. So he says as follows, v'omer v'nochachas. Nochachas, the Rabban interprets to mean, and she carried on the dispute. She would not yield, she would not be meichel. The ace kol, with all this, sort of pleading, begging, and so forth, v'nechachas. She maintained the argument. Kisara lo nispaisolo. Aval im kol zeh. That's the ace kol. With all this effort on his part, hoisa misvakachas imo betanos. Lemar, shelo timcholei. She's not going to be mochel. In fact, the Ramban says, ubishvacha diber hakasuf. The pasuk basically is saying, v'nechachas, she would not yield. However, if we go a little further in the Ramban, it says, v'avram nispayes. However, Avram was nispayes, v'yispalel olav. Now, just to suggest, the Ramban does not discuss why she was not Meichel and Avram was Meichel. Of course, he was a softer person than Sarah. But since the Ramban is in fact saying, Ubishvacha diber akosuv, so the Ramban obviously holds that there was a maila to her attitude. Not that the Torah is being critical of Avram, but there was a maila to her attitude. So I was thinking as follows, that perhaps it hinges on Bechlal, Hilchos Mechila, in terms of injury. You know, there's a din, Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down by Hilchos Erev Yom Kippur, that a person is supposed to be Meratze Chavero, and in the course of being Meratze Chavero, the Chavero who had been injured is supposed to be Meichel, and if he's not Meichel, he's an Achzari. However, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that it's possible to resist the mechila, if serious injury had been committed, something like a mitzi shemra, such that the effect, of course, is somewhat disastrous. Now, maybe as follows, that from Avraham's tzad, in other words, in terms of Avimelech's impingement on Avraham, basically, what had happened? Sarah had been taken away. And what's happening? What has happened? There's been this compensation. She's been returned, and a kind of compensation has taken place. In terms of Sarah herself as a person, it's true that Avimelech has argued that it's Ksusinayim and so forth and so on. So fine. So from now on, there's going to be Ksusinayim. But the fact of the matter is, she had been taken beveis Avimelech, and her honor, her dignity had been seriously damaged, perhaps in a sense, in a permanent sense. Of course, later on in Toldos, the late Sani Hadar said about, well, sorry this, sorry that, and so forth and so on, you see. So therefore, in a sense, it is most proper that Sarah not yield to Avimelech on grounds that a kind of irreparable damage had been caused to her in terms of her person. So that on that basis, of course, there's no chiyuv, there's no din to be meichel. Whereas with respect to Avram, in terms of what had been done to Avram in this particular Maisa, there you can see that there was a kind of compensatory factor given. All right? Now the Ramban just wants to discuss briefly two terms. the word nochachas, and back again to the word elef, back to the word elef. Now, how does the Ramban teach the term v'nochachas? She maintained an argument. In other words, she carried on a dispute with him. You know, the miloshen vikuach, loshen vikuach. Now, the Ramban wants to bring a riot to this because actually, in a mitzvah, for example, like hocheach tochiach hamisecha, the halacha is not, in other words, carry on a dispute. There, hocheach tochiach hamisecha is to show, to demonstrate what is correct and what is incorrect. It doesn't, of course, it may result in certain arguments and so forth, but the essence of the message is to demonstrate. Whereas here, the Ramban is interpreting it in terms of a dispute. Of course, a dispute has a relationship to demonstrate. In a dispute, one attempts to demonstrate. But at any rate, that the word is used in this term too, the Ramban cites some evidence. So he says as follows. V'hu kiloshen v'im Yisroel yisva koch. Or ach darki alponov ochiach. Of course, v'im Yisroel yisva koch. It's clear that one can see that the Ribbono Shlom is going to argue and dispute with Klal Yisrael. Ach darki alponov ochiach. This is dealing with Eov, who feels that at certain points that he had been maltreated, and he's going to sort of dispute the justice of his suffering. Or also, once again with Eov, Shom Yosher Nochach Imo, the Yosher, he's referring to himself, Eov, will Nochach Imo, will maintain a dispute. All right. Now, back again to the term Elef, the Yitochein, perhaps the Ramban felt that 1,000 didn't represent a high enough sum, I don't know. So the Ramban actually says the term Elef has, you might say, finite meaning, and it has a kind of infinite quality to it also. The Yitochein, Sheyiye Elef Kesef Lochich, Alfe Kesef Mamin Rav. In other words, tremendous sum of money, far more even than 1,000. Kiyad HaMelech, corresponding to the capabilities of a king. And he brings riyas. V'chein, the posuk says, V'chein HaKoton Yiyeli Elef. There, Elef is, you know, like sometimes we speak about a million, not in terms of a precise amount, but, you know, tremendous sums of money. HaKoton Yiyeli Elef Li Amrav. V'chein, Hashivu Nolahem Kayom, Sdoseyem, Karmeyem, Zeseyem, Uboteyem, Umi as hakesef vehadogon vatirosh vayitzer asher atem noshim bohem. There the mas hakesef is not restricted to mea, but tremendous sums. The mea, the elef, represent tremendous sums. In fact, I mentioned to my class yesterday, we were learning a Gemara on the din of Edim Shabbatul Miksosin Batla Kulan. So the din is that it applies not only to one out of three, or one out of four, or one out of two, even mea. Minayin afilu meya tamud lomer edim. Or for example, the expression in the Gemara that says, Hedoz baldin kemeya edim dummy. Obviously, it doesn't mean meya edim as such. Any number. Meya is a way of expressing a very, very large sum. All right. Now, this we have the final Ramban on this inyan. Let's see the psukim, because it has a mysterious quality to it. And there are some terms that are not clear. All right, Avimelech has committed his avera and he's done tshuva. But we well know, of course, that tshuva alone is not necessarily mechaper. For averas ketanes, tshuva will be mechaper. But for more serious averas, tshuva alone will not be mechaper. And there, Avimelech needed a greater kapara. The kapara took the form of Avram's tefillah. Avram's tefillah provided Avimelech and his mishpacha with a refuah. So the pasuk says, "Vayispal Avram el Olakim, vayirpa Olakim es Avimelech ves ishtoi v'amhisa vayeledu. Ki atzar atzar Hashem biad korechom neves Avimelech al dvarsora eishes Avram." Now, let's see what the problems are. It says here, vayirpa Olakim es Avimelech ves ishtoi v'amhisa vayeledu. So apparently the Einish that Hashem had brought upon the Avimelech was in the form of preventing the birth of children. All right. It says, I should say one basic problem. As we discuss it, others will develop. Avimelech doesn't belong here. Because if the Einish was that the women were not able to give birth, the birth process was delayed, it was deterred, whatever happened, so it just should be by Yirpol Kima Sishtov Vam Hosavayeledu. Kiyotzaratza Hashem Biatko Rechem Leves Avimelech. Would it be proper to say, Kiyotzaratza Hashem Rechem applying to Avimelech? He wasn't bisexual. Right? Anyway, that's the problem with which all the Mefarshim deal. Actually, the Ramban is going to discuss Rashi, Unkelis, and his own Perush on the role of Avimelech. In other words, what is the significance of Avimelech being here? And as a consequence, we'll get a kind of picture of what actually happened. Let's see. Vayeledu. Ima loshen kipshuta. In other words, if we're going to say that the word vayeledu means to give birth, because we're going to see that vayeledu can have a larger meaning, v'shavli ishtei dam hesav ki otzar Hashem biad rachmam teimahu. The Ramban has a problem. Ki nireh ki gam b'layla harishen asher lukcha sar leves avimelech. See, because the Ramban initially thought that atziras harechem means an inability to conceive. Now, pashtus, it's indicated here that all this happened overnight. So what kind of atziras rechem is there to talk about? Atziras rechem. It takes a little time to realize that women don't conceive. So what's going on? So Ramban says, ulai hayu al pirkan. In other words, they were expectant. The achazum chevle yoleda v'lo yachlu lihimaleit. Yeah. In other words, one possible pshat the Ramban gives is that the onish was not so much the inability to conceive, but the inability to give birth. And there women apparently in the household that were sort of, let's say, in the labor room or were had already birth pains and so forth, and they simply couldn't give birth. So any woman will tell you that if there's any delay in the birth process, it feels like, you know, like hours and years of hell. So in other words, it was a mako, although it was brief, time-wise. And that's one possible pshat, that it was an atzira in terms of leda, the ulai. And then the Ramban suggests, well, maybe it was an atzira in terms of heroye. However, the ulai avram ichert filosa yamim rabim. See, enochinami, the Ramban will admit to the fact that the events all took place over one night. You know, from the night till the next morning, it was all over. But the refuah did not take place till when? Till Avram was mispalel. So the Ramban suggests the possibility that Avram's tefillah took place, who knows, later, maybe 6 months later. And of course, then it would, one could interpret the atziras rechem with respect to inability to conceive. All right. Well, what's the significance of this so far? Nothing major yet. In other words, there are two possibilities. Is the atziras rechem one dealing with leida or one dealing with heroyin? All right. Another shaila that has developed is, of course, at what point was Avram mispalel? Was Avram's pius? You remember we spoke about the fact that Sarah was not misfayis to Avimelech at all. So now the shaila that's developed is as follows. What about the pius of Avram? Was it immediate? Was there an immediate pius? As would be mashma from one pshat of the Ramban, saying that it's dealing with the Natsira of Leda. Or another possibility is the pius of Avram, in fact, did not come until much later. And the atzira, of course, would be the atzira of Heroi. In other words, the other machlokus, the shaila, is as to whether whether the pius came immediately or later. All right. Now, that's in terms of that. Now he's going to deal with the problem of Avimelech. V'loshein Rashi, Vayeledu, what does Vayeledu mean? V'isravachu. Rabbi said, you know, this is the kind of Rabban, when you see it, you like to skip it, because it appears to be highly technical. It does not appear to sort of be Megale, Maisi Bereshis or Maisi Markovit. And one figures, since there are so much other more juicy Rambans, it's a good idea to sort of just ignore this, especially the with all the amount of effort that has to go into figuring out a Ramban like this, really. You know, working it out and getting a clear picture of it, you know, one might use one's time more usefully somehow. But on the other hand, it's when you go through a Ramban like this, you develop an ability to feel the psukim. In other words, to see how the Ramban takes psukim that on surface it's like saying like it's just dry psukim, and he'll work on the psukim and al pipshat too. He doesn't sort of, I'm not speaking al pidrash, but al pipshat. He works on the psukim in such a way that you get these psukim are telling you something. This is just aside the fact that Melech Nebuch was collaborating with God of Refuah Shlema, and that's it. And you can really only accomplish this by a really technical effort at working through the psukim. And all right, enough apologetics. Veloshen Rashi vayeledu. What is the meaning of the term vayeledu? So Rashi says, and this is based on Unkelis, v'isravachu nispatchu nikveim v'yotziu v'hu ledo shelohen biad kol rechem kineged kol pesach. So Rashi, in order to explain the significance of this with respect to Avimelech too, says that the Rechem and the Leda do not mean what they ordinarily mean. Vayeledu means to, not to give birth, but it has a larger meaning. In other words, to give forth. In other words, to produce, to yield. That's what Vayeledu means. And what does Rechem mean? Opening. Like Nikovim, all right? So basically what Rashi is saying here is this, the makkah that affected the Mishpachas Avimelech was one of a constipation, a situation of constipation. Now, the constipation can deal with giving birth, that's a form of constipation, and constipation can deal with other forms, with regular forms of constipation. That's what happened. A general constipation hit the entire Mishpacha of Avimelech. That's the way Rashi learns Pshat. And that's why he has to say that Vayeledu doesn't mean to give birth, but gave forth, to produce, to yield, to give out. And Recha meaning opening. That's the way Rashi learns Pshat. So the Ramban is critical. He says, Vein Zenochem. Because he says as follows, I'll make one concession. I'll say that Vayeledu can have a wider meaning, but I will not admit to the fact that Rechem can have a wider meaning. That's what he says. Ki im nomer b'Vayeledu she'u yitzias hachutz, that it's the idea of coming out. Shemotzinu leido b'inyonim rabim, that I'll yield to. Kigon hara amol vayolad sheker, the idea of saying give birth to sheker, or ledes chok, giving birth to a gzeirum in Ashamayim, or ma yelad yom, what the day will bring. So there, yelida has to do with producing, giving forth. Ma yolidu v'yechadshu hayomi. In other words, it's the idea of being mechadish, to give forth. All right? Avol milas rechem, the term rechem, lo tovol pesach acher. In other words, except related to the birth process, there's no other term. In other words, rechem has no other meaning. Ah, you'll ask a kashe, the ein tana mean begicho mi rechem yetzei. In other words, the Torah uses it for other things, me rechem yetzei. So he says, she kinui. All that is there is a kind of metaphor. Kigon beten ha'adama, if you say the stomach, the belly of the earth, you know, something belching forth from the belly of the earth, that's just used in the, as a metaphor. It's not used as a, you know, actually the taki, that's what it means. It's a beten ha'adama, that the adama has a beten. All right? So at any rate, let's see where we are now. We have the shita of Rashi who says that this was a makah of constipation affecting everyone in a variety of ways, with Rashi saying that both the term rechem and leda have broader meanings than usual. Right? Now, how does Unkelus learn pshat? So the Ramban sees and defends, although Unkelus learns the same pshat as Rashi, but he does not get tied up with the meaning of the words. And he says as follows, V'das Unkelus einena kedivrei harav. See, Rashi interpreted Unkelus as Rashi said. Why? Because on Vayeledu, Unkelus said, V'isravachu, meaning, you know, in a general sense. So Rashi therefore interpreted the rechem to have a wider meaning too, a larger meaning. So the Ramban says that's not what Unkelus meant. Einochinami vayeledu meant a term in a general sense. What did rechem mean? So he says as follows. Ki hu shetirgem v'isravachu oso rechem ki pshutei pesach valda. In other words, if you look in Unkelus says that rechem is ki pshuto. So how does Avimelech fit into the picture? But Unkelus wanted to include Avimelech into the refuah, so that's why he touched Vayeledu to mean Yisravachu. The Lashon Bereishis Rabbah, he otzer Hashem, atzira bepeh, atzira begarin, atzira beayin, atzira, all forms of constipation, atzira beozen, atzira, in other words, like basically saying he didn't even sweat. That's because sweating is also, in other words, not sweating is also a form of atzira, of constipation. Milmala atzira milmata. Va'medrash hazeh lahem. The medrash that says it is not based on the idea of the rechem, but rather miyitur loshen akefel otzar otzar. That Chazal, you know the Lashon of Otzar Otzar and the Hoshev Chivim, the Gemara in Eilat Metzias, that always has the repeat form, always has a drasha, afilu mea pa'amim. So Otzar Otzar, Chazal Adarsh, to mean all forms, all right? Lo shi yafarshu kol rechem, that kol rechem means kol nekev. It certainly doesn't mean that, all right? So what do we have according to Unkelus? So Bemis, according to Unkelus, Bemis, the makkah was the same as Rashi says, except that the meanings of the words are different. In terms of biad kol rechem is referring specifically to the women, but included in the makkah and the refuah, we find out in a indirect fashion from otzar otzar and from a larger meaning of vayeledu that Avimelech too was affected and was cured. Now we come to the pshat of the Ramban. The Ramban doesn't even want to allow Vayeledu to have a wider meaning, because the Ramban wants to really stick to the really Pshutei Shel Mikra, and the really Pshutei Shel Mikra is Rechem, and Leda is Leda, and that's the Pashtus. So the Ramban now is tied down. What happens with Avimelech? So you know how the Ramban operates then. Then the Ramban already starts envisioning perhaps a different set of circumstances than we sort of interpreted from the very outset. And what is it? And what is it that actually happened? What happened was as follows. We've been assuming from the very outset that all these events took place in one night. That all these events took place one night. You know, overnight everything took place. So Ramban says it didn't happen that way. V'anochen b'einai. From the day that Sarah was taken, Luka Avimelech Be'evarim Lo Yuchal Laseis Tzrochav. As Avimelech took Sarah, at the time Avimelech took Sarah, he received his Einish. It's almost like saying if, I guess in psychology you'd say that, well, a person who has certain evil motives is punished in a certain way where, you know, related to the chet that he's thinking of. At any rate, Avimelech was nenash relative to his chet. All right? This was essentially the Ribbono Shel Olam's way of telling Avimelech what you just did was wrong. All right? And he's being told that it's wrong by virtue of the fact he's being punished in such a way that he's suffering and he cannot accomplish what he attempted to accomplish by taking Sarah. Vizehu lo nisaticho lingoa ileh. When the Pasuk said before, when the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Avraham and said, lo nisaticho lingoa ileh, ki anegio v'akreva b'noshim hu ala mishko. Because when it says lingoa ileh, what does lingoa ileh mean? Negia is not just negia. Negia means it's a mild, moderate language to actually mean living with her. Ki inyan al tikshu alisha. Tikshu alisha means that. Va ekrav el hanavia. In fact, you have the lashon of kreva bichlal with respect to arayas. The idea, the association. The ishto, the amhosav shehin meubaros, otzar biad rachman. So the Ramban says as follows. Basically, there were two sets of, there were actually two onshin. One is to the amhosa of the ishto in terms of giving birth. That was one onish. And a particular personal onish directed at Avimelech, which the Torah does not spell out. You'll soon see why. So he says, ki atziras rechem hu shelo tahar. In other words, atziras rechem is, knows if there's an atzira of the rechem, enochinami, the Ramban would say that atziras rechem means preventing conception. Kiderech v'ashem sagar rachma. What's the lashon of sagar rachma? Preventing conception. Aval atzira, watch this lashon. Aval atzira bi'ad horechem. Doesn't say atzira sorechem. But the atzira of bi'ad korechem. Hu shelo tele. Kiloshan goder ba'adi velo etze. In other words, it's like blocking. In other words, bi'ad korechem is like a block was created. Oh, so this is what the Ramban says. The onda sara bevesa yamin. Actually, Sarah was in, after Avimelech took her, she was there for a period of time. Of course, nothing happened because Avimelech was ne'enash, but he didn't get the message. V'lo shav Avimelech midarko, and Avimelech did not do tshuvit. Ki lo hevin ad shebo elav ha'lokim b'chalom v'hodiyo. He didn't comprehend anything. V'lo pireish ha'ay. If according to the Ramban, there are like two forms of punishment, one to the women of his household, and one to Avimelech, and only the one directed at the women is spelled out, and Avimelech is epis referred to, but beremez. So he says, "V'lo pirish hakosuv choli Avimelech v'izkiro beremez derech musar v'kavei l'sora." In other words, this is the Torah's way of actually, out of kavod to Sarah, to refer in an oblique fashion to the events related between Avraham and Sarah. Notice the Ramban says, Lefi pshuto shel mikra, Avimelech is referred to biremes, mishum kvod Sarah. V'acharei tfilas Avraham, nirpa Avimelech, v'ishto v'amhosav, v'yeledu hanoshim. So he learns pshat. Then they both received the refuah. See, when it says, Vayirpa Elokimus Avimelech Vasishto Vamhosov, and who's the Vayeledu going on? The Vayeledu is going on Ishto Vamhosov. So the pshat of the Ramban in summation is that whereas Rashi and Unkelus learn pshat with the variation between Unkelus and Rashi only being in taich words, the machlokus between the Ramban with Unkelus and Rashi is in terms of whether it is basically one Einish, one kind of einish directed at all of them in terms of atziras hanikavim, or two onshim, one directed at Avimelech in a very specific fashion, directed to be meramis to him to what he's done, and then a general einish on the women in the household. All right, that's in terms of this inyan, and then we go over to the Vashem Pakad. Are there any questions? Yes.
Yeah, and the chat that he's machalic between Leida and Rechem, that Leida is lav dafka and Rechem is dafka, he says that it's a kinoi. But the psukim he brings for Leida are also metaphors.
Well, the Ramban obviously doesn't think so, because he learns pshat, Vayelad Yom, in other words, what the day will bring. He learns pshat, what the day will bring. It's not a metaphor. What the day will bring forth. No, it's not a metaphor. The day, what the time, what this day will bring forth. That's not. As when you say from the belly of the earth, that's a metaphor, because the earth obviously doesn't have a belly. You can, you can think. But you can think of Ledes Chok, the Navi is referring to the fact that a Gzera Min HaShemayim is being issued, being brought forth. Why not? All right, we'll stop for 5 minutes and then we'll start with Vashem Pakad. Those of you... All right, we're now going into an inyan that is, of course, represents a very important Kriya, the Kriya of Rosh Hashanah. The Pasuk... Vashem pokar esora kasher amar, vayas Hashem lesora kasher diber, vatar vatel esora l'Avram ben l'skunav l'moed asher diber osor elokim. Vayikra Avram Hashem b'na anolad lo asher yodo lo sora Yitzchak, vayom al Avram es Yitzchak b'na ben shmonas yomim kasher tziva osor elokim. Now, what the Ramban wants to discuss is the meaning of the word pokad. It says as follows. First, he brings down Rashi. Vashem pokad esora kasher omar. So Rashi says that pokad has very concrete meaning. Behiroye. Pokad, in other words, there was a pekida, a remembering in terms of an action. Behiroye. Kasher diber beleda, loshen Rashi. In other words, Rashi is trying to explain the fact that you have two references to Hashem's dealing with Sarah. First you have Pakad Sarah, and then you have Ayas Hashem LeSarah. So what are the two connections? So he says, one, the Pakad deals with the inyan of the Heroyim, and the Vayas deals with the Leda. All right. So the Ramban is chelik on this, and he says as follows: the ain pkida elaloshin zechira v'hashgacha ala nifka. The term pkida is like zechira, which means what? Which means remembering with concern. That's the idea of pkida and zechira, remembering with concern. Kigon pakod yifkod elokim eschem. Pokod pokarati eschem vesheo sui lochem. Vayifkeit shimshones es ishto bigdi izim. Afkan vashem zachar es sara. The osala kasher diber. In other words, the Ramban says as follows. The first part of the pasuk has general significance in terms of the fact that Hashem was zachar sara. Then it... That was in terms in the, you might say, in the subjective mental sense. Then in the concrete terms, it's expressed through Vayas Hashem Lasara Kasher Diber. All right? And then he says, V'chein aloshin b'chol ha'koros ha'yoldos. Like the Ramban is going to prove that Pkida and Zuchira are equivalent. V'chein aloshin b'chol ha'koros ha'yoldos. Ramban instead of going straight. I'm considering it. Maybe we'll take a vote. But I want to discuss a halachic question now that flows out of this discussion in the Ramban. Wait. Oh, you don't understand the difference? The difference is Parshat. In other words, yeah. Rashi teaches Pakat in terms of concrete action. Of course, Kida means he remembers her, but he remembers her, in other words, in terms of an action. He did something. That Pakida actually meant he did something. In other words, like, say, according to Rashi, Pakida means he did something for Sarah out of concern and for her. Out of concern for her, he did something. What was that doing? The doing was Heroye. According to the Ramban, the Pakida itself means nothing in terms of concrete action. Pakida means he was concerned. He remembered and was concerned with her. Period. No action yet. The action takes place in Vayas. The Vayas, according to the Ramban, includes both the Heroyin and the Leda. Whereas according to Rashi, the Pakida actually is concretized in terms of Heroyin.
So when he said Vayiskar,
looking with
Rachel?
Vayiskar. Vayiskar. Then it says Vatahar. Vayiskar is a very general reference to the fact that Hashem became very concerned and very attached to Rachel in terms of her needs, but without it spelling out any effect. All right?
So yeah, what Rashi mean by
Vayas? Rashi says. In other words, Rashi interprets it as a sequence. Heroyin and Leida. Pakida with reference to Heroyin, and the Asiya would represent, you know what Asiya would represent, like completion. The Asiya, in other words, and it was completed with the birth. So that Rashi is teaching it all in terms of from conception to birth. Hashem, in other words, saw to it that she conceived and saw to it that she gave birth. All right. Now, the Ramban says that Pigdenes harein kizichrenes. Now, you know the din on Rosh Hashanah and Tfilas Musaf, we say Psukei Malchies, Zichrenes, and Shefres. And there's a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, that deals with the kinds of Malchies, Psukei Malchies, Zichrenes, and Shefres that can be said. And there are various machlokes. For example, on Zichrenes, there happens to be a machlokes between Reb Yesi and Reb Yehuda. Reb Yesi says, Pigdenes are kizichrenes, and Reb Yehuda says that Pigdenes are not kizichrenes. And it's partial of machlokes tanayim as to whether on Rosh Hashanah, if a person decided to drop one of the other psukim, let's say Vayiska Alkimas Neach, and decided to save Hashem Pokar Esara, is a Yetzi or not? So that's actually a Machlekes Tanoim. So the obvious problem is this. After all, the Ramban just says, V'chein Amru Pigdenes Harein Kizichronos, just like that. What he's actually doing is he's quoting the view of Reb Yesi, who says that Pigdenes Harein Kizichrenes. Reb Yehuda is Chayek. Ayol Taine. You know, when there's a machlekes Reb Yesi and Reb Yehuda, how do we paskin? Paskin like who? Did you say Reb Yehuda? No, paskin like Reb Yesi. No. Machlekes Reb Yesi and Reb Yehuda, the Nimuko Imo, the Gemara in Ha'imer and Gittin says. Didn't you learn Gittin with me once?
Beginning.
What do you mean? The first? Not the second year?
No.
All right. been saying that, huh? At any rate, in general, Machlekes Reb Yesi and Reb Yehuda, we paskin like Reb Yesi. So Memela, we should paskin al pi halacha that Pigdenes harein kizichrenes. There's only one trouble. The Rif there in Rosh Hashanah says that afal gav, that we paskin like Reb Yesi, who says Pigdenes harein kizichrenes, nog alma shloi leimer v'ashem poket asar. In other words, he says that we're noig not to say pigdenes. Mod nezach. Well, what do you mean? No galma, not to say it. One. All right, that's not so bad. So if you say that the Ramban goes according to the shita of the Rif, it's all right, because he's saying pigdenes harein kizichrenes. In other words, in principle, we paskin that what? In principle, we paskin like Reb Yesi, who says pigdenes harein kizichrenes. For some reason, no galma, not to say it. But in principle, pigdenes harein kizichrenes. All right, good. However, the Rambam says beferish, pigdainis anat kezichrenis. Rambam says, and he does not paskin like Rabbi Yesi, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and says you can only say zchireis, you cannot say pigdainis. The Rambam. This is the Rambam. The Rambam. All right. It's not so terrible, but I want to be mevar the inyan for you, and we'll get a little insight into the pigdainis zichrenis problem. Now, we've just been speaking about a machlekes related to what? The inyan of zechiras. Now, there's also machlekes that goes on between Rabbi Yesi and Rabbi Yehuda with respect to malchies. What's the machlekes? The machlekes is as follows. Can you say, for malchies, you know, for malchios, we like to say, you know, Hashem elokov imo suas melech bo. Yeah, malchies. Hashem Yimlech Le'elam Vod, Malchies. What about Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? We say it, if you recall. That's the 10th Pasuk. We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad as Malchies. Actually, it's a Machlekes Tanayim. And it happens to be a Machlekes of Rabbi Yesi and Rabbi Yehuda again. All right? With Rabbi Yehuda taking the stringent view once again, who says Shema Yisrael is not good for Malchies. And Rabbi Yesi taking the view that Shema Yisrael is good for Malchus. Here it's interesting, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yesi, who says that you can say Shema Yisrael. Interesting. In other words, when you talk about Pigdainis, he says no, Pigdainis are not Kizichroinis. There he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. But when it comes to Shema Yisrael and other psukim equivalent to Shema Yisrael, he says, here we do paskin like Rabbi Yesi. And of course, the problem is, what's going on? All right. Mice is as follows. You see, in the Machlekes, in Malchies, as to whether we say Shema Yisrael or not, what's the Machlekes between Rabbi Yesi and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds, if it says Malchies, if there's a halacha of Malchies, then you got to say Melech. In other words, it has to not only intent-wise contain Malchus, but literally contain Malchus. The term Malchus has to be there. In Shema Yisrael, although it basically expresses the concept of Malchus, actually Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad really expresses the concept of Malchus, but it is not literally expressed. And Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be expressed literally. Fine. So what does Rabbi Yesi hold? Rabbi Yesi holds, as long as the idea is expressed, it's sufficient. All right? So that's what Rabbi Yesi says, and that's why the Rambam, in fact, the Rambam says beferish. Why do I paskin here? Why do I paskin here that Shema Yisrael is good? Because, after all, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Chod, means Malchus. Now, our tendency, of course, is to think that this is also true in the Machlokes by Zichronos. In other words, it says, what does it say in the Torah, Yom Zichron Truah? So you need Zichronos, right? So we would think that Rabbi Yehuda once again is saying you need the idea of Zichronos and you need the actual term, the word Zichira. Whereas Rabbi Yesi says, no, you don't need it. You don't need it. So that's not the pshat, because if that were the pshat, then the Rambam should have paskin that pigdainis harein kizichreinis too. See, the mice is this. Pigkodain, a pigdainis, in other words, a pkida, does not really express zichreinis. It's a synonym. In fact, the Malbim says there's a slight nuance of difference between pkida and zechira. Actually, indicates that it has to do with the idea that Kida relates to a zechira in which there had been a prior promise, a prior commitment to. And on the basis of that prior commitment and interest, there is a kida and a zechira. So there's a nuance of difference in terms of the meaning. Oh, so that's it. So Be'emes Rabbi Yesi holds it doesn't make any difference whether the pasuk expresses the meaning of Malchus and Zichreinus, or even if it's a synonym, such as Pigdainis, it's good. But here's where the Rambam splits his psak. The Rambam splits his psak and says that In this respect, we have to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and say only zichronis and not pikdainis, because pikdainis does not precisely mean zichronis. It is not the precise meaning of it. All right? So that's why the Rambam paskins there like zichronis. The Rif and other Rishonim who still paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who still say pikdainis harein kizichronis, and apparently the Ramban does also, but still Nohu Galma. The Nohu Galma is like the Rambam, because still the precise meaning is not Pekida, it's Zechira. And therefore, since we have Psukim to express Zechira, we use Zechira and not Pekdainis, because it's not as good as Zechira, because of a certain variation in meaning. So therefore, here when the Ramban says, Chein Amru Pekdainis Harein Ki Zechreinis, all he's really saying is that the Ramban here is not concerned with the halacha. He's just saying, pigdenis aki zichrenis. There's a machlekes in terms of what we want in zechira. Do we want the precise zechira, or can we allow for a variation, a nuance in meaning? But the basic meaning is the same. So that's what the Ramban is saying here. I just gave you a bar mitzvah drasha. All right?
Yeah. I don't understand, though, by Malchus, why the Rambam passed for like Rabbi Yossi.
Because there, Malchus, it doesn't have a different word for Melch. It doesn't have sholeit. It actually defines what Malchus is. See, Pekida does not define what. Pekida is a synonym. All right? So Rabbi Yossi holds, even a synonym is good too. But the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. He says a synonym is no good. But the other Rabbi Yossi, where there he's just saying the meaning of Malchus is expressed in the Pasuk, that is all right. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even allow that. Rabbi Yehuda insists the idea and the word itself must be expressed. Yes?
Doesn't Pakan also apply counting? I think
yeah, but Yifkot is also to count too, yeah.
So this
but here it certainly doesn't mean count.
Well, in the sense that the Malachi return case, one of those things.
Well, that was one, you remember that was.
Isn't that part of the
So what are you trying to point out? That there's a variation in meaning?
Yeah, well, I'm.
All right, I already said there's a variation. You're indicating that there are other variations. All right, Enochinami. I'm not arguing. Well, you're pointing out, you're adding, you're supplementing what we've said. Yeah. All right.
When Rambam passed in that Donos Enam is the Donos, that because he said we hold that the synonym is no good, but is it because that's not an exact synonym? If you find
no synonym is exact. Show me a synonym that's exact. Why is there a synonym? Synonym is because synonym wants to express a certain nuance. Yeah, why is there another word? It's another word because another nuance wants to be, it has to be expressed.
And if in the chronos, you would simply describe it like if you could find.
In other words, if you found a pasuk, Lamash, right. That's the nafkamina of what we're saying. If you can find a pasuk that expresses Hashem as a zeicher and so forth, then it would be good. Yeah, what is it?
I understand the question about what's the purpose of the whole pasuk.
What's the purpose of the whole pasuk? You're asking stomach cash. It's nothing to do with what we're doing.
Hashem remembered. He forgot. He brought it up again. He was busy in the meantime when he remembered again. Yeah,
don't make it sound so crass. Basically, what it's saying is this. You have to look at this. You know the principle. Dibra Torah B'Loshem B'nei Adam. All right? In fact, I was speaking to my doctor this week. He's weiter weg von Yiddishkeit. He just about knows the fact that he's Jewish, but he has some criticisms of the Bible, you know. And they usually do. And somehow he says, you know, the Torah is so mystical and this and that. So I try to tell him the Torah speaks in very down-to-earth terms. Maybe it should be more mystical. The mice is this. All Hashem Zohar, in other words, Hashem Pakar, Hashem Zohar, and so forth, basically, it's saying now Hashem. No, but don't you see? Don't you see? It's very important that the Torah express certain fundamentals of emunah. One of the critical factors in emunah is, of course, the idea of schar v'enish, the idea that Hashem is concerned with the fate of man. Now, of course, you can say Vayas Hashem, and we can deduce it. But the Torah wants to preface events on this earth by that principle. So Hashem Pokad Esorin, that's why we lane. That's why we lane this on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, that's a real raya that, you know, Pikdenis Harein Kizich Reines. We lane it, we lane it on Rosh Hashanah. That it is prefaced by this fundamental concept of providence, of Hashem's concern for man. Now, in terms of whether he was thinking of Sarah before or not, of course he was thinking of Sarah before. But in terms of its taking on real meaning, real significance, and not, you know, he knew about her before, but the extent to which God relates to man depends on, you know, the particular period of his life experience. All right, let's go on to,
also, in answer to that, what the Malvin points out, the Gita, and I imagine also Zafira has this meaning, it's just that it's not exclusively this meaning, is that when you say to remember someone in Hebrew, it could mean if you made a deal with someone and you come through with the deal, that's called Zafira. Not to imply that you forgot in between, but you came through now.
All right.
And you can bring a lot of rayos, even in the Shemot Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Most of the time that the word Zafira is used, it doesn't mean someone forgot someone and remembered. It means there was a deal made in the past.
There was a deal. Well, that doesn't work too well according to the Malbim, but what you're saying is, all right. All right, let's go over to the next pasuk. Let's see. Hey, we have Avram ben Yashar Nabi Volid Lo Es Yitzchak B'nei. Vatomer Sarah Tzchaik Asali Elokim Kol Hashomei Yitzchak Li. Vatomer Mimilei Li Avraham Einika Vanim Sarah Ki Yoladati Vein Li Zkunav. All right? Now, the problem the Ramban deals with now is, what is the meaning of Mimilei Li Avraham? I wouldn't want to take a little guess as to how few of you know pshat here in Milel Avraham. It's Rashi gives pshat, but it's not easy. It's not easy to see it here in the plain expression Milel Avraham. So he says as follows. First he cites Rashi. Milel Avraham. So Rashi holds that Pasuk Zayin is a, well, what happened in Pasuk Vav? Sarah says, Tzchok osu li alkim kol ha-shomea yitzachak li. All right? So notice, what does Sarah say? Sarah says, Hashem made a great, you know, provided me with a great simcha, an astonishing simcha, kol ha-shomea yitzachak li, everyone who hears about it will be astonished and overcome with joy, all right, for me. And Rashi then says, Pasuk Zayin is an expression of Shevach Vaidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was because of what had happened, there's the expression of Shevach Vaidah, all right? So that's the way Rashi learns Pshat. Mimi Leili Avraham, Loshin Shevach V'Chashivusu. Re'u mihu v'kamu hu gadol v'shomra avtachosu maftiach v'yose, loshin Rashi. In other words, that me is critical in saying, look at this great person. In other words, instead of being mishabeachim by saying, he is great, he is glorious, he is wonderful, he is praised simply in terms of the action and promises that he fulfilled. That's what it is. Mimile, see who it is that had made this promise to Avram, and that Heiniko Banim Sarah, and the Kiyolatati Bein Liskunav, see who it is. Look to that individual. In other words, basically, it's a Shevach in terms of directing everyone to the source of all that had happened. It's a Shevach in a directional sense. That's Rashi's Pshat. However, the Ramban is Chedek, for Pashpistika reasons. So the Ramban Tainis and Rabbi Shavel has a whole discussion with various Mefarshim as to whether the Ramban is or is not correct in this claim. But at any rate, the Ramban claims the term me used in this sense is not used beloshin shevach, because me is saying like, who is it? There's the unknown factor. In other words, there's ambiguity. There's a certain sense of, in fact, bizayin that is indicated. In other words, Beloshin, who is it? Beloshin bizayin. Obviously, Rashi holds that, in other words, it's like a machlokas we once had. The Ramban says that since we see me, you remember we had it by Vayiftzer with the machlokas between the Ramban and the Radak. So the Ramban there too said it had a very strict, narrow meaning because this is all we see it's having in all of Tanakh. So the Ramban, once again here, says wherever we see me expressed in this kind of language, it's Beloshin bizayin. Rashi apparently takes the word me in a larger sense. In other words, look to him. In other words, who is he in any sense? Either with praise, in other words, it's me is a kind of evaluation of someone. It can be an evaluation, lebizayon, or it can be an evaluation, leshvach. We've had similar machlokas, and once again, you see the Ramban sticking to the pshat. Sticking to the pshat. I'm not learning with you, Ramban, in a comparative way too often between Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, and the Rashbam, but the Ramban is really a super Pashtun. We ordinarily think of the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam as being super Pashtunim. You know why we think of it? I'll tell you why. Because the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra come up with Pashtunas that go against Chazals and Epis. They seem to be, you know, they have certain sensational qualities to them. The Ramban, in his pshat, always tries to keep things in line with the Midrashim, with Chazal. He doesn't sort of go off on a tangent and say, well, like you know, pshat yiposhet vadrashi darish. You know, he always tries to keep it together so you don't have the same kind of sensationalism in it. But the Ramban sticks very closely to the pshat. V'anochin b'yenai. Says as follows. See, according to Rashi, Pasuk Zayin is an expression of Shevach. In other words, after she said, she expressed how great the joy was, then in Zayin you have an expression of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban is Chalek. The Ramban says Pasuk Zayin is an explanation of Pasuk Vav. In other words, in Pasuk Vav it says, Kol HaShomea Yitzachak Li. In other words, everyone will be overjoyed and astonished and amazed. And the Ramban says, Pasuk Zayin explains it. You know why? Because Vatomer Mimi Leili Avraham. Because who would have ever told Avraham? Who would have ever, prior to the birth, who would have ever consoled Avraham? Who would have ever made an effort to somehow, you know, raise his hopes? Say, you know, Avraham, don't worry, Sarah will have a child, Sarah. This was gone and forgotten. You know, like it was simply not in the range of human anticipation. And because it was so astonishing and so out of line with people's thinking, that's why everybody was so amazed and astonished and overcome with joy. That's what he says. Anochem be'inai, ki amrat tzchok osoli alokim kol ha'shomei yitzachak li, lemales piv berina uschek bepela hanasali. Everyone will be overcome. Who would have ever told us? See, in other words, if you hear something that is not particularly astonishing, very nice. But then you see, let's say a woman didn't give birth for 15 years, and she had, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that terrific? Isn't that grand? And so forth. That's, no one would ever say it to her. In fact, he says, "V'loshen unkelus karav lazek." What does unkelus say? "Man meheman di amr li Avram, kiim kayam di tainik bnin sara." Claimer, "Kol hashomei yitzachak li, ki ein adam shiyi en neman gam bi eni Avram im higid lo ze apela." In other words, according to unkelus, mimi leil is in the sense of la Avram. In other words, in whom would Avram have confidence if he were told that Sarah would give birth? Basically, it's the same idea. The only difference is that according to the Ramban, it's Mimi Leili Avram. Who would have ever expressed it to Avram? And according to Unkelus, it's basically describing Avram. In other words, who would Avram have believed? Who would have? No one, of course. And that's why it was so astonishing. This idea, this is just a side comment. It's recently I was visiting a person who is unfortunately really chronically ill. And the husband was visiting, it's the wife that's ill. And, we talked to the man, So ordinarily, you want to wish someone a refuah shleima. All right, you go to the hospital, refuah shleima. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because he knew it, and I knew it, and this, it's really one of these real chronic, cases. And I guess it's very hard to wish it because it's simply, in other words, the idea of expressing hope and anticipation is where you see some opening. Hard to see it, hard to express it. That's what it was with Sarah. No one could express it. You could say it. Nichumim means something if there is some future to it. There's some opening for it, some possibility for it. Doesn't seem to be any. How can you give Nechama? All right, now we come to a very famous word that Rabbanim have darshened on, Arein Seif. The exile of Yishmael. It says, the Pasuk Tes. It says, Pasuk Ches, Vayigdal HaYalad, Vayigomal, Vayas Avram, Mishta Gadol, B'yoyim Higomel, Es Yitzchak, Vateres Sores Ben Hogar, HaMitzris, Asher Yoldo, LaAvram, Mitzachay. Vatemer Li Avram, Garesh Homa, Zos V'yas Bino, Kilo Yirash Ben Homa, Zaysim Bini, Im Yitzchak, Vayera, all right, Vayera, Dover, B'yod, B'enei Avram, Aledes Binoi. The big problem, of course, is this. What did Sarah see that got her so excited? Some mitzachik, playing, pashtus, playing. Now, the Ramban is going to bring down two drushes chazal that Rashi cites. He's going to bring down the Ibn Ezra and then his own pshat. Now, all these pshatim basically have tremendous validity. The Ramban, obviously, is going to stick to his pshat for one reason, because he thinks it's closest to Pshutei Shel Mikra. All right? So let's mitzachek. So first, Lashon Aveda Zara, Lashon Ritzicha, Lashon Gilar Rayas. It's a Rashi from a Chazal that shows that the term mitzachek is used with reference to Aveda Zara, with reference to Gilar Rayas, and with reference to Shvichas Damim. That's one pshat. Another pshat is Meri Vim Yitzchak Ala Yerusha, V'Yemer Ani Bechar V'Yareish Pishnayim. Mitzachik dealing with sort of arguing and disputing with Yitzchak about the Yerusha. The Yitzin La Sodeh, the Neitel Kashto, the Yore Bochitzim. And they're out in the field, and up is Yishmael shoots arrows. This almost sounds like an Ace of Yaakov, Maisa, yeah? And Yishmael shoots arrows at Yitzchak, as he misses, but he'd like to kill him. In other words, Chazal are describing a situation where Yishmael would very much like to bump him off, never succeeds, and somehow Yitzchak gets a little suspicious, and Yishmael tells him, I was only playing around, So he says, Kimada Tamer, Kimislale Hayore Zikim, Chitzumumavis. It's like a person who makes a strenuous effort to shoot arrows of death at a person and does not succeed. Kain Ish Rimas Haveru V'Amer Halo Mesachek Ani. So also a person who somehow deceives his friend, and the friend, of course, is very disturbed, and the other says, I didn't really mean this, and so forth and so on. Playing around, toying around with the person, when really he means evil to befall him. And then, Umitshuva Sarah Atolomit, and it's a right to the fact that the Machlokas had to do with Yerusha Atolomit. Kilo Yirash Ben Oma Hazais, as a right to the fact that the goings-on dealt with the issue of the Yerusha, because Sarah reacted by saying, Garesh Hama Hazos Ves Beno Kilo Yirash Ben Oma Hazos Im Benim Yitzchak. I want to first work out the mechanics, then I'll try to be mevar each one of these pshatim. All right. Then he says as follows, Kol Zeh Loshon Rashi. The Afkana Rav Kesef Mahamachlekes Kulam. The Ramban here once again objects to Rashi because Rashi is combining two different pshatim. And you remember the Ramban objected to this Rashi before by Vashem Hintir Al Sdei Me'es Hashem. Rashi brought together two pshatim of Chazal. And he quotes it. The Tanya Amar of Shimon ben Elazar, Dalet Dvarim Hayi Rabbi Akiva Dorish Veini Dorish Kavos Avinir in Dvarai Mi Dvarim. He was very objective. Dorish Rabbi Akiva, Vatera Sara Ben, I was serious. Vatera Sara is Ben Hagar Amitzvus Hashe Yodol Avram Mitzachek Ein Tzchek El Loshin Aved Azara. That's the pshat of Rabbi Akiva, the first pshat of Rashi. Vani Omer Chas V'Shalom Shiei Bebeisur Shol Tzadik Kach. What do you mean Aved Azara? There's Aved Azara in Avram, so impossible. Should be Avodah Zarah in his house. Yeah, but Beisah Avodah Zarah. The Gila Rais is Shvichas Damim. Ella, Ein Tzchei Kamer Kan Ela Loshin Yerusha. Shemishar Shenayla Yitzchak Koyakol Smechet. Amar Lahem Yishmael Shaitim. Ani Bechar Vani Naitel Pnei Pishnayim. Shemitshuva Shamra Sara Imenu Lavram Atalame. Benirin Dvarai Midvarav. So it's a machlekes. Some Armitarites for Rashi say that actually both could have been true. So Rashi includes both. In other words, there's really one does not exclude the other logically. And he says as follows. So one critique of Rashi is what? Why does he bring down both Pshatim? Another critique of Rashi is as follows. That Rashi does not bring down the Chazal as it should be. Why? Because Rashi says that Yitzchak and Yishmael were actually carrying on a dispute about the Yerusha. The Medrash doesn't say that. The Medrash merely says that Yishmael himself reacted, said, "You're a bunch of fools. I'm going to have the Yerusha." Why is this so? Because to have Yitzchak and Yishmael engaged in the argument, that must mean that what? That Yitzchak grew up. How else would you have Yitzchak and Yishmael involved in an argument? That would mean that Yitzchak was a big boy already. All right? Well, if Yitzchak were a big boy already, how do you have later on Hagar carrying Yishmael on her shoulders? All right? By the way, they answer that too. Because even according to the Ramban's calculations, simple calculations, Yishmael was closest to about 17 anyway. And this was after Vayigamal, a couple years later. They say he was 17. So if she can carry him when he's 17, she may have been a frail boy. 17, maybe, so if he can carry him when he's 21 or 24 too. You know, like, if it's a problem according to everyone. All right? Unless you say at 17 he was still underdeveloped. V'chein al-oshayin. Shomer harav meri v'mitzchak ima yerusha enu nira nochein. Shim ken yiyazel achar yomim rabim. You can say that that's what the Ramban's saying. The Ramban knew that he was around 17 already. Except that at 17, actually, there are some frail children. And, I know, for example, in my family, in my three boys are very big, and my fourth boy is small. He's small. Like, his development. He has a slow development. You can be 17 and the development can still be slow and there's still time for growth, 18, 19, 20. The Ramban is saying already, according to this Cheshbon, he's in his 20s already. You know, and he was a Reiv HaKashas and he was a Shtikel HaHel. He must have developed at some point. How was she carrying him? I mean, that's what I'm inferring the Ramban means. These are the two pshatim, or two drushes of Chazal. Rabbi Avraham Amar al derech pshat ki mitzachek mishtashea kiderech kolnar. You know what mitzachek was? He was playing. He was playing punch ball. So what's wrong with that? But kanei bo bavura yosa gadol min no. She was jealous of him. She was jealous. Here, big boy already. Boy, I was a little teenager here. It's a big boy already. She became jealous. Doesn't speak well for Sarah. All right? Obviously, the Ramban doesn't want to learn that pshat, right? All right, let's leave the Ibn Ezra alone for a moment. Let's go on. Rabbi Isai, look, it only says here that Yishmael was mitzachek. Banachan b'einai. Shoyozeh b'yom. He gomel es Yitzchak. Let's go into the pshat of the pasuk. It says in pasuk Ches, Vayigdal hayel. Notice how the Ramban simply just takes to the pasuk and it fits it into the context of the psukim. Vayigdal hayeled vayigomel. Vayas avram mishte gadol b'yom he gomel es Yitzchak. Vateres sarah. It's connected. Vateres sarah is ben hagar hamitzu. In other words, it's continuous. Asher yaldol avram mitzachik. What was he doing? He was mitzachik. Now the Ramban in the end of Lech Lecha points out that there are two kinds of tzchek. I may have mentioned this at the beginning, the year two. There's the tzchek bepeh that is simcha. There's the tzchek belev that is more a kind of sneering and critical tzchek. That's the way the Ramban learns pshat. She noticed that Yishmael was sneering at all that was going on. You know, here they're making a big to-do. You can picture Yishmael, of course. See here, Yishmael was born, he was born, big deal. You know, like Yitzchak is now born, look what they do, Kol G'day the Elam come, and they make a Mishneh Gadol, and this is it, you know? Nebuchadnezzar, it's no joke, it's a problem. Yishmael, he's mevatel the whole business. That's what Sarah noticed. It says, V'nochen b'einai, shor yezeh b'yom yigomel es Yitzchak. He was sneering at the whole affair. Notice how the Pasuk says, Vatera Sarah, it doesn't say Vatera Sarah as Yishmael Mitzachek, it says as Ben Hagar Hamitzris Mitzachek. Alright? Below Amra is Yishmael Mitzachek. V'chein Amra. Goresh es ha'amah azos ve'ez b'noah. It doesn't say goresh es Yishmael. But goresh es ha'amah azos ve'ez b'noah. Ki? What was her argument? Ki amra. Ha'eved ha'malig ala deinav. Chayev hu lama yisrael al kaisai. In other words, in her view of things, after all, Hagar, Yishmael, they were avadim and shvachet. Ibn Eved. Openly shows how he despises his master. This is a criminal act. This is a criminal act. Chayv gulamu sol al koso. So basically, the Ramban is saying as follows. Veini rotze. All right, really, you should get clobbered. So what Sarah says is follows. There's rebellion here. Basically, it's a situation of rebellion. So I say, I don't want him punished. Just do me a favor. Send them away. Veini reiser rak shetigarish oso meiti v'lo yirash b'nechosecha klal im b'ni shehu agvira. In other words, he is an eved. He's rebelling. Send them away. He has no sheiches to Yerusha. He has no sheiches belonging here. Send them away. V'amra sheyigarish kam imo. The mother go too. Why should the mother go? She was sending Hagar away simply because, for the sake of the kid. In other words, to the Ramban, this was a situation of rebellion against an Adain, and this, of course, had very serious implications for the future. So she said, look, we have to, he really deserves to be severely punished. We won't do that. Send them away, say goodbye to him, and that's it. That's the Ramban sheet. Now, what I'd like to do is just sum up each sheet. I tried to point out already that the Ramban is, at one at the same time, trying to stick to the Pshutei Shel Mikra, right? But at the same time, not give a pshat that makes Sarah appear to be, rather a very severe, heartless mistress. So, let's run over the pshatim again. In the machlokas in Chazal, first we have a machlokas in the Medrash. Was it an inyan of Yerusha, or was it an inyan of Gila Arayish, Vichazdomim, and Avedizar? The mice is this. The Yerusha approach views it, you well know from the whole conflict between Esav and Yaakov, that conflict on the Yerusha had to do with what? See, today we just think of Yerusha simply in terms of who gets the extra buck. Yerusha then meant a lot more than the extra buck. Basically, it meant Yerusha of the whole mantle of leadership was being transmitted to the one who is the Bechor. So Memele, this Chazal is basically saying that a struggle, a power struggle, developed between, in this Mitzachek, there was a power struggle that developed between Yitzchak and Yishmael, and therefore it was high time that Yishmael was sent away to decisively, you know, clear the air. That's the option. Now what about the Avodah Zarah and Shvichas Damim? Well, what the Bali Musar would say is this. You see, when Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to say, that Yishmael had Avodah Zarah in his room? Zumeglach. He's correct, Zumeglach. And it's Zumeglach to say that Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva really said that and meant it. I'm just giving you an approach. It is conceivable, but I'm just saying the Bali Musar would interpret it this way. See, one of the big problems, this is a modern problem of chinuch, it's a general problem of chinuch, is this. What if you have, essentially, a wayward kid? A kid who grows up and has tendencies to sort of be going off to Derech HaYosher. He's mali taivi, he's mali anger, he's mali this. What do you do? Now, there are two approaches. There's the approach of suppression, and there's an approach of playing along with it and trying to moderate it and control it. Now, if we say here that he was in involved in Gilei Arayos, what's Pshat involved in Gilei? Maybe he used to date girls, you know, Stamazai, used to go out and date girls, he didn't stay in the yeshiva and learn, all right? Or Echveis, he was involved in, you know, Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah, Echveis, he used to read books. He used to read books, you know. He used to read the kind of books that he shouldn't be reading, all right? Ritzicha used to go to the bullfights, you know, or he went to, you know, to a boxing match, or a football game, maybe. It's Ritzicha. All right? Now, in other words, these were his urges, and this was where he was going. What do you do? Yeah, you know, like, you know, put him down, or you'd like try to play along with it and moderate it. That's the problem. It's a very serious problem in chinuch. In fact, there's a Medrash Pliya, I don't think I mentioned this, Medrash Pliya that talks about, I think I mentioned my class, Medrash Pliya that talks about the fact that Moshe, who had two sons, he said he was going to rear one child and he gave, you know, to Torah, and he was going to give his other child to Yisro to be brought up in Avodah Zarah. So this was the Medrash is saying that he's giving over his child to be reared in Avodah Zarah? No, didn't mean that. Moshe was going to bring up one child, Kulei Al Taras HaKadosh. The other child was going to be brought up with secular education, and be exposed to the world, and get a good, you know, a liberal mind, you know, an open-minded chinuch. Because the truth of the matter is, either way involves serious risks, depending on the times and situations. Either approach involves very, very serious risks. And as I say, the Bali Musar would interpret this kind of machlokas, how much tolerance there would be for such kind of activities. Of course, Pashtus, you wouldn't interpret the Medrash that way. But anyway, I gave you one interpretation of the Medrash. Now we come over to the machlokas in the Pshutai. The machlokas in the Pshutai between between the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, as to what the Mitzachik, what is it? I didn't try to prove anything. All I just wanted to point out is this, that there is a certain approach there in terms of chinuch that you can look at it favorably and you can reject it. I'm just saying that these Tanoim were essentially involved in what kind of a chinuch approach to take with a difficult situation, That's all. Well, whichever pshat you take, you're taking the pshat that espouses the fact that he was doing, that something wrong was going on.